Business Hub.
With Focus Technology, bringing technology happiness to businesses in Cornwall.
Andrew Davenport is back. Andrew, good to see you. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you, Mark. And yourself?
Yeah, not bad at all. Thank you very much. Busy as ever, although I understand that the recent spell of sort of slightly more dodgy weather is down to you getting your surfboard out.
Yeah, apparently so. As soon as the minute I got my surfboard out, the clouds and the rain came back. So I think for the good of Cornwall, I'll put it away again and just kind of forget that for a little while.
Yeah, if you could, mate, please. Yeah, thank you very much. You're ruining everybody else's weekend.
I know, I'm sorry. I apologise. You heard it here.
Yeah. Good to have you back, mate. And we've been talking about Windows 10 now for a few weeks, actually. It's come up on a few occasions because there's also a version of Microsoft Windows, which is now no longer supported as well. Is that right?
So yeah, it's coming up to the end of life for Windows Server 2003. That's it. Next month on the 14th of July.
Yeah. But this is potentially a jump people could make, is it?
To Windows 10? No. Windows 10 is the desktop operating system, whereas Windows Server is the server side, the kind of, you know, the core of the business network.
So these are different products.
They are different products. So one is end user and one is actual sort of fundamental, you know, core infrastructure for your business.
Got you.
Where you put all your data and your email, etc.
Yeah.
But Windows 10, I mean, we're kind of, you know, Windows 10 has been bandied around for a while in the news, and Microsoft have been sort of making quite a big deal about it, and it's been lacking in information about how it's going to be deployed and how it's going to sort of be pushed out to the end user. So, you know, being the kind of concerned people that you are, that things are going to start going horribly wrong, we've kind of had a look at it, and there's a few sort of things that we think that, you know, people need to be aware of Windows 10. So firstly, if you have a computer that is up to date as far as Windows updates are concerned from Windows 7 onwards, you may start seeing down in your system tray, just down by your clock there, a little icon that basically says reserve your copy of Windows 10. So any user, irrespective of whether they've got administrative rights or not, can click on that icon, and then basically they get taken to a page where they can reserve, in brackets, their copy of Windows 10, which effectively means that they've said, I want to download this and install it. But the kind of bit that's not so clear is what actually happens after that process. So as far as we can discern now, because nobody's got it yet, it's not released at the moment, but what we can discern now is that it's going to be a 3 gig download. So for anyone with a internet connection speed problems, etc., you might want to think carefully before you click on that. And that the user or the PC that's being installed on it will need to have admin rights to install it, which is in some ways a good thing, in some ways a bad thing. Now, we come across a lot of PCs in the business environment where every user has administrative rights. This generally comes down to either laziness or people sort of saying, oh, I need it to install software, I need it to do this. And as we've sort of discussed before with the antivirus and malware, if you make sure the users have standard rights and can't install software, it protects them because it can't run applications they might inadvertently download.
Yep.
Now, the problem with PCs with admin rights for end users is if they decide they want to deploy Windows 10 on their PC, they can do it and you can't undo it.
Ah.
Now, there's a slight issue there that if some of your users on your business network decide to click that button, reserve their copy, and it starts to download and it deploys it, then they've got Windows 10 on their desktop. The only way to undo it is to completely uninstall and reinstall the computer from scratch.
Yeah.
The other problem as well is we're not entirely sure whether everything is going to be compatible with it. So a lot of the Microsoft stuff will be. But if you have quirky applications or stuff that is specific to your business need or specific to your industry, you know, put it on a test PC first and make sure all of your software is going to work before you even think about putting it out on your, in your production environment. So it's kind of like approach with caution sort of situation at the moment. If your users do have admin rights, maybe send an email out to them, maybe inform them that this is what's going to happen, and do your own research and basically say, please, until we say so, don't click on that button because it could make things go horribly wrong.
That is great advice, because that's a backdoor disaster, isn't it?
It really is.
Potentially.
Yeah. You know, we're looking at it from a support desk point of view and thinking, do you know what, if people are going to be doing this, it's going to be a bit of a nightmare, you know, because people always want the latest shiny thing to say they've got it, and then suddenly things start working.
But they're going to have to pay for this then?
No, it's free. You know, the whole attraction is it's a free upgrade from anyone running Windows 7 or Windows 8.1.
What happened to Windows 9?
Microsoft decided to skip that one.
So Why would you do that, though?
They don't like the number. They have a habit of skipping various numbers in operating systems, but they flip between, you know, code names and words, etc., and they come out with, you know, Windows 10 because they thought it sounded cooler.
It does, so actually, doesn't
it? A lot of it's marketing sort of spiel that Microsoft uses.
Yeah.
Windows 9.
Ooh. Yeah,
Windows 10.
Yeah. Windows 10, come on.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Exactly.
Yeah. Brilliant. Oh, it was really interesting stuff. And I mean, you touched on it there as well, really, in a way, you know, when people are having to reinstall computers and things, and then the security of the computer comes into touch as well, especially if people have admin rights to their computers. And there's been a few things in the news recently about security breaches on various different websites and usernames and things that have been bandied around or held to ransom and all kinds of weird stuff going on. So have you got anything security wise for us to...
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, firstly, don't give your end users admin rights unless they really need it.
Yeah.
Most of the time they don't. Yeah. With a bit of sort of clever tweaking of the software, you can make it work under a standard user account anyway.
Yeah.
There is no reason for users to have admin rights at all. So that's, you know, the first step to increasing your network security.
Yeah.
But basically, I mean, it's kind of most businesses start small. You have like a small team of people that everybody's trusted, everybody knows each other. So you have a big pot where you throw all of the data pertinent to running your day-to-day business. What happens is, as businesses grow and develop specific departments like HR, personnel, accounts, marketing, sales, etc., all of that data still sort of sits in the same pot. So you've got people in marketing and sales who can actually see personnel data or payroll data and things like that. What I'm sort of saying from security is lock down hard first, and it's better to release access to people to the relevant folders they need access to than it is to give them a free-for-all and then try locking it down afterwards.
Yeah.
Think about the structure that's going to be within your business. So most businesses will have a common set of departments. You'll have management, maybe even executive management, maybe even sales, marketing, and actually create groups on your network for those people and assign those groups the permissions to specific folders within your infrastructure. And this means that people don't get access to things that they shouldn't be seeing. Again, remote access for users as well. You know, do they really need it? Because if they're going off-site and they've got a laptop or they're using relatively weak passwords, etc., again, there's a potential backdoor for somebody to compromise your network without too much difficulty. So again, remote access, is it a short-term thing that they need because they're off sick or on maternity or paternity, etc.? Turn it on when they come back, turn it off again, you know, basically to secure that network. If they're continuously using remote access, then think about how they're accessing your network and whether you need to sort of, you know, provide some additional layers of security, like two-factor authentication is a common one. That means that if somebody was to steal their equipment or compromise their passwords, it's much more difficult to get into your business network. And one of the other things we see as well is when people leave an organization, businesses tend to leave their accounts live because they need to receive email or somebody wants to log on their PC to see their files and folders. You don't need to do that. You can disable that account and through the administrator account give yourself access to that data and move that data somewhere else. Because if you leave that account enabled and you don't reset the password or something, they can potentially access from outside and cause damage to your business. So we do see situations where, you know, people are doing things they shouldn't be doing. And, you know, and our first sort of reaction is, right, disable the account, address the issue, and then, you know, review whether you need that account or to open it up or not. And on system critical data or sensitive data, another bit of advice would be to enable auditing on the folders within that structure. And what auditing does is it creates a log on the server that monitors what happens to each file and folder within that directory. So we have had an interesting incident where one of our clients was seeing some folders were just disappearing. And, you know, it's like, oh, it's the system, it's deleting our stuff and this, that and the other. You know, there's something fundamentally wrong. So we enabled auditing on this particular folder. And it turns out that actually one of the users deleting the data.
Wow.
But we were able to pinpoint what user it was, from which computer, at what time of day, so they could take remedial action thereafter because the evidence was there as to what the user was actually up to.
Wow.
And nothing's disappeared since.
Yeah,
so that's
interesting.
All good.
Yeah.
But it is, and you know, with security, it is a case of take a hard stance first and then slowly release that access, because, you know, it's better to be more protective than not protective enough of your data.
Yeah.
And what a lot of businesses, I think, is they miss the point that actually your business data is one of your most valuable assets.
Yeah.
Because that's what makes you your money.
Yeah.
You know, and it's on a par with your personnel and people. It's, you know, you have to protect it.
Yeah, even more important now, really, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, particularly, you know, with the sort of cloud and data starting to go get thrown around everywhere, you know, and having that one big pot is just not really a great way to sort of look after your data.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, quite an important thing. I think every business needs to actually have a look at that mm-hmm. that security. And just on sort of network storage and data, a top tip today, and it's one that we keep commonly coming across, if you find your servers or your systems are running out of storage space, a bit of advice, if you've got iPhones in your organisation, go and have a look and make sure that everybody's holiday snaps aren't downloading through their iTunes library onto the server.
Right.
Or indeed videos or music libraries, quite a common one, but we see quite a lot of disk space taken up by iApps taking up a load of space on the server. So if you're running out of space and you need to do some housekeeping, start having a look there first.
Brilliant advice. As ever, loads of stuff to take on board there. And if people want help, especially with the security side of things, and maybe even potentially having a look at Windows 10 once that's, you know, rolling out, whether it's going to be viable or relevant for the business, best way to get in touch with you guys?
Yeah, you can give us a call on 01209 613 660 or send me an email on andrew.davenport@focus-technology.co.uk.
I wonder how many people have searched for that little Windows 10 icon.
Yeah, everyone's going to be looking at it now. That's it. Yeah.
I'm about to do as well.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Thanks again for your time, Andrew.
No worries. Thank you, Mark. Be technology happy. The Business
Hub. With Focus Technology. Bringing technology happiness to businesses in Cornwall.